As we launch into God's Word this morning, I realize this is like not an easy job to try to gather you guys back together and stuff. That's a good thing, actually. I'll take the responsibility, whoever's up here, to have to do that. So we're a chatty group, which is good, just kind of to connect with one another, and we can do more of that after service and during our coffee hour. Another plug to sign up for hospitality if you're so inclined. So this morning, as you know, we're in the season of Lent, and we're today's something that the Covenant, our broader denomination, initiative that's called Prayer and Evangelism Sunday. So it doesn't mean that today's the only day that we're going to pray or evangelize, but we're going to be looking at something that everybody should hopefully have a copy of in your bulletin insert, this little brochure thing that says Bless, and it's got some little extra pages in there. You might have seen some stuff in the foyer as well. And so we're going to be talking about this intentional evangelism initiative. I'll be kind of walking through the different letters. BLESS is just an acronym, B-L-E-S-S, that we're going to look at each of those individual areas of evangelism. But what comes to mind when you hear the word evangelism? Just throw out a couple different comments or things. Hmm?
Door knocking.
Door knocking, okay. Do you know Jesus? Okay, what else?
Sharing faith,
pretty simple. Okay, what else? Okay, tracks, those little things that are sometimes cool, sometimes a little unusual. What does evangelism mean to you? Like when you think about that, I mean, not simply kind of maybe experiences and stuff, but what is that, what kind of impressions and things come to mind when you have that word evangelism?
Well, a great number of my family members are lifelong.
Okay, so then there's some positive feelings about like, yeah, you know, we want to share the gospel, share our faith, so there can be some positive things. Okay, what else? Okay, preaching. Others? Okay, television stuff. So there can be there's a lot of positive things. There can be some other things that are sort of, can be a mixed bag. Okay? Anything else?
Sharing God's truth in your life.
Okay, sharing God's truth in your life. So even just kind of your own story. What's been your own experience of evangelism? Either yourself doing it or being on the receiving end, even as a believer. Sometimes somebody wants to tell you stuff or whatever. What's been your experience?
Resistance.
I'm sorry?
Resistance.
Resistance, okay.
I had a lot of experience when I was a young man. God would put me in all kinds of situations where I talked to people of all different types of religious beliefs.
Okay.
And, you know, because God was real to me, you know, I was able to share with them, you know, what God had been made real to me.
Okay.
And still do that every day on the job.
Good. Okay, so that's kind of two examples of something very positive, just saying, you know, hey, it's a natural thing. Some people it comes, kind of normal. It's not a big deal. Sometimes it could be resistance. And I think there can be kind of everything in between. I want to share, actually before we get started, I'm going to go ahead and pray for us. We're going to be looking at a passage in Genesis, and I'll just share a story, about some of my experience. But let me go ahead and pray for us first as we delve in. So Lord, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for just this broader initiative that the Covenant is doing that we're participating in this morning, Bless, in this evangelism initiative, Lord. And I just pray, God, for not only ourselves, but even just the broader Covenant as we kind of look at this and just see, like, what is our role and what is our invitation into participating in evangelism and really having our faith be something that's not something that we keep hidden to ourselves necessarily, Lord, but it's something that we want to make known to other people, Lord. And so what does that look like? And I just want to pray that you would open our hearts and minds this morning to receive your word, Lord, and to receive this message. And I just pray, God, that these would be words for this congregation, for this time and this place. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So when I was in college, I remember like sort of one of my first encounters with evangelism was on the Cal campus. And I remember just kind of going day in, day out to class, and there was an upper sprawl kind of in the sort of quad area. There was always kind of people that were, you know, evangelists. They were basically shouting something along the lines of, you know, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And I was like, what do I make of that? And I remember just, you know, it was one of the many sensory experiences that I had as a young 18-year-old freshman, you know, trying to find my way in the world, trying to make sense of this faith that I had, which was kind of fledgling. I grew up in the church, but it was like, you know, what do I do with that? Is that something that I'm called to do? Is that something that we're all called to do? Something that we're, it's part of our responsibility. And I remember just this one guy in particular who just was kind of shouting out these words that are really just the words of John the Baptist out of Matthew 3:2. And I recall, you know, he might have even looked the part a little bit. I don't know if he ate locusts and kind of had camel-haired clothing and stuff, but he was probably a little disheveled in his outward appearance and stuff, but he seemed like such an outsider. And I don't remember many people responding very favorably. I just thought, well, you know, he's just kind of doing his thing. And I don't remember anything inherently offensive about it either. It was like the words were just, you know, I mean, he was maybe kind of the approach and that sort of thing. And I couldn't quite get a sense, you know, was this something that he really enjoyed doing? Was it, you know, so I would just see this guy, you know, very regularly. And so at one point I finally kind of took pity on him. I said, you know, like he doesn't seem to be getting very much positive response here. So I had participated, was becoming part of a fellowship called InterVarsity. So I wanted to talk to him. I just said, you know, let me just ask him a few questions. And so I kind of tried to get his attention in the midst of what he was doing. And I tried to share a little bit that I was part of this campus fellowship, this Christian campus fellowship. I emphasized that and said, you know, we have the same purpose. You know, we're wanting to have other people come to know Jesus. So I just remember, I wish I could offer sort of a positive response to how this interaction went, but I don't remember being kind of listened to. I don't remember being acknowledged even, probably being pretty dismissed. And he didn't seem to have really much interest in conversation. He just wanted to sort of get his message out there. And really, you know, knowing whether he wanted to know people or whatever, I was never really able to know kind of much more beyond sort of what was this, I mean, he clearly had a passion. There was something that he was doing that said, you know, this is what I gotta be doing and I gotta proclaim this message. And I felt it was maybe a little bit odd, maybe a little bit disconcerting when I thought back about this particular interaction and stuff. And over the years, you know, I've been exposed to different forms of evangelism. Probably one approach that I think is what my campus fellowship in InterVarsity tended to refer to as either like friendship evangelism or relational evangelism, which was really just connecting with people that you already know. People that, you know, are in your life, and we're going to be talking more about just different kind of circles of influence that we have, you know, particularly non-believers. But, you know, giving yourself the freedom to let people know that you're a Christian. I mean, sometimes even that can be kind of it's like, oh, I don't really want to have people know, you know, kind of that I go to church, that I follow God or whatever. I remember when I was younger, I used to always make it a point to have one of those little fish on the back of your car, right? You know, people have those. And at one point I realized, you know, I really shouldn't have this fish on my car because I'm not a very good driver. I'm kind of a little aggressive. I cut people off and stuff. And I just thought, I got to take this fish off because, you know, you can just imagine sort of the impressions that people have. Oh, there's that fish. There's a Christian. Look at, he just cut me off. And, you know, you can imagine. So I don't have a fish right now, but I am trying to be a better driver because I'm teaching my oldest to drive. So, but that's another thing altogether. But what about you? I mean, what impressions and things, you know, what experiences that you have? We shared a few things earlier just about kind of some positive examples of saying, you know, it's just sharing our faith or preaching or saying something, sharing our story. I think one person shared that and I thought that's really, you know, kind of the crux of it because we all have a story to share. We all have something that God has done in us that we can make known. And I think sometimes we can have these fearful, kind of impressions of what it's like and just, you know, not kind of want to hold on to sharing any of that and be reluctant to share anything. Maybe it's the fear of offending. You know, so much of our broader culture is about, you know, whether you're going to offend me, you know, that's your thing, but that's not my thing. And that can be sort of very pervasive in our broader culture. Yesterday, a few of us attended this, reimagining, mission in Berkeley that was, a very positive and interesting experience. We had Al Tizon, who's part of the global Serve Globally mission objective that's part of the covenant. And one of the things that he talked about that I found very interesting was he talked about missions, obviously. But, you know, in a lot of ways, missions is really just kind of the broader church's global evangelism. You know, how do we get the message across to the rest of the world? And, you know, part of our discussion was that, you know, sometimes there can be kind of a negativity associated with missions because it can be associated with colonialism and just sort of like, well, it's just being something that's being forced upon people that may or may not be interested in that. And so I think in a lot of ways, you know, it can give the church and the broader notion of evangelism kind of a bad name. And we can cringe at how missions or even evangelism has taken place in the past, or, you know, if we have bad, negative experiences with it. And maybe we can kind of just lean more towards social justice and say, well, I just want to serve people and do something that's going to impact their lives and stuff. And often historically, you know, this contrast between social justice and evangelism can kind of be these two kind of things that are kind of offsetting each other. And the reality is it's a false dichotomy, because we really need both. We need to be prepared to share our story and evangelize as well as serve others. And I think this approach that we're going to be looking at momentarily is really kind of captures some of those pieces together. Because the bottom line is we need both. We need creative ways to not simply make the message of the gospel known, but specifically that story of what God has done in our lives. In 1 Corinthians 4:7, Paul says, you know, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show this all-surpassing power from God that is not from us. So I like that image of, you know, we have a treasure in jars of clay, like that we carry something within us, that story, that work that God has done in us, that is a precious treasure. And what do we do with that treasure? What do we do with the things that God has done in our lives? Do we hold on to it and say, well, this is just my personal faith. This is something I'm just going to do and hold on to myself. Or is it something that we really feel like is compelling enough to share with others? And so how do we engage with others in a way that is faithful to our call as followers of Jesus and not simply keep it our faith hidden or in a relatively private part of our lives? How do we overcome any scruples that we may have sometimes? And maybe some people don't. Maybe you're like, no, this is not a big deal. But that's sort of some of my experience, you know, whether it's what I've seen in a university campus or global missions historically or everything in between. And in Matthew 28, one of the last things that Jesus says to his disciples, and I'm sure most of you are familiar with this passage, known as the Great Commission. And he says in this closing verse here, I think we're going to have it up on the screen. Yeah, there it is. He says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And so these are like the closing words that Jesus has before he ascends to heaven. So he says, go and make disciples of all nations. So a lot of times, you know, people see that call to evangelism is really stemming from Jesus' specific command to his disciples. Say, go and make disciples of all nations. And a lot of missions organizations and have said, you know, that's why we are called to do this. We have to go into all the nation where, like, the Lord is not, Jesus is not going to come back until every single nation and people knows of him and has an opportunity to respond. And that's a whole another theological kind of thread that we're not going to look at this morning. But it doesn't just begin. Our calling to share our faith doesn't just simply call with Jesus Great Commission here. There's precedent throughout Scripture that we see that stands back to really the very book of Genesis, in which, you know, even before God established a covenant people to himself through the nation of Israel, that he made a promise to Abraham. And he said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to use you to bless others. And we're going to look at that passage momentarily in Genesis 12:1. But the very lineage of Israel's forefathers, starting with Abraham, and before his name was changed from Abram to Abraham, the Lord spoke, and he made this bold declaration to Abram. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land that I will show you. And I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse you. And all of the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. And so Abraham went, as the Lord had told him. And so really, in a lot of ways, you know, this is really the starting place in which God says, you know, I want to use my people to bless the world, to bless others. I want to use you as my people. Even church this morning, this is a message for you to say, you know, God wants to use you to bless others. And that's really what we're going to be looking at this morning as Christians. You know, we are tied to that spiritual lineage of Abraham. And, you know, in the midst of all the troubles and the challenges facing the world, you know, that common thread has always been that God desires to use us. I mean, God has the power and authority to just sort of make his name known to people in the world, but he wants to use us. He wants to use our story. He wants to use the things that he's done in our life to be salt and light to others. And so we have a fundamental role to bring about God's shalom or peace to this world. And God's way of reaching and restoring the world has always been through blessing. And so from the very beginning, in conjunction with God creating a covenant people to himself, You know, the accompanying promise that's included is this fourfold blessing from Genesis. And it says, I will bless you, he says, first of all. So part of our being, just being God's people, is I want to bless you, first of all, he says. Next slide. And it says, you will be a blessing. You will be a blessing to other people. And these are God's promises to Abraham and to us. And I will bless those who bless you. So in other words, you know, we have an interactive, kind of reciprocatory response to people. You know, God's gonna sometimes, you know, work in our lives in such a way where, you know, He blesses us in different ways, and He wants to use other people to be a blessing to us. And then that fourth one, all of the people on earth will be blessed through us. So these are the words that God made to Abraham before He even established a covenant people to Himself. And so friends, this promise of blessing that God ultimately made to Abraham is really a promise that He makes to each and every one of us as well. That God desires to bless you as well. He wants to have the blessing upon you to be something that is realized as, like Abraham, you step out in faith and you say, you know, what does it look like for me to kind of share my faith in some way, to share my story in some way, and not kind of approach that with fear and trepidation and kind of having to scrape off that fish off your car because you don't want people to know that you're a Christian, right? I mean, it's that God wants to bless us in these different ways. And so the approach that we're going to look at is this. I want everybody to pull out these little inserts, and does anybody need one? I think Frank has a couple extras. Otherwise, we're going to go and just walk through each of these different areas and stuff. And it's really a way that you can participate in the strategy that God gave to Abraham to reach the world. And as you engage in these practices daily, you can partner with God's Spirit to bless those who don't know Him. And so I'm going to break it down. We're going to break it down into these five missional practices. And I want to encourage you to both hold on to this and look at this. And we're going to walk through each one this morning. And really, especially as you engage in this, as we anticipate Easter next month, there may be ways in which you say, you know, what would it look like for me to just kind of make my faith known a little bit in some way? You know, just to, I think we're good, Frank. But just to make my faith known to people in some way. Maybe it's putting that fish back on them. Maybe I'll do that. I don't know. But it's, you know, how do we engage in this stuff? And so the first one is the letter B. And so it starts with just beginning with prayer. So next slide. So the starting place for all that we say and do with just anything in this world and with others is to really be specifically praying for people in our lives. So those are the five things there. And the next slide. And so we all have different circles of influence that we have. Next slide. Where we specifically have different ways that different people that we're acquainted with. And this is also like in there as well. So it's just an acronym. It says FRANK, which is, Frank just stepped out, but friends, relatives, acquaintances, neighbors, coworkers. So sometimes when you think, well, who are the people that are in my life? Who are the people that I can have some influence? Who are the people that I can share my story with? Which is what we're going to be looking at the end, that notion of sharing my story. But there's all different people that we have in our lives. Sometimes we think, well, I don't have that many people I really know that well. But there's always going to be people in our lives that we are in relationship with in some way. And so you can make it manageable by turning to God and just asking, God, where are you already at work in people's lives? Where are you already at work in these different areas of influence that I have in my life? Where do you want me to join you in the work that you are doing in those you are seeking to draw to yourself? How do you want me to be a blessing to the people in my life? And I think these are some of the questions, and these are some of the questions that are in here as well. And so the way we're going to do this is that between now and Easter, you can use this little perforated, if you look at the second, the right side there, there's two little sections here. And it basically says, you know, choose 3 to 5 people. Just keep it simple and say, what are three to five people in my life that, you know, maybe kind of know God, maybe sort of are, you know, not really in relationship with God or churchgoers or whatever. Who are the people in my life that can be among those different areas of influence between friends, acquaintances, relatives, acquaintances, neighbors, coworkers? Maybe there might be other categories as well, but who are those people? And you'd basically write 3 to 5 names on here. And so if you look at this, there's the right column says, my church is praying for and I am praying for. And this, you can literally tear this off and keep it in your Bible or someplace where you're just going to commit to praying for these names. And so the one on the right, this is my church is praying for. Between now and Easter, I'm going to invite you to take that off. You can either do it this morning or between now and Easter, and take that page and put it into this bowl here at the cross. And what we're going to do is I'm going to commit to praying for those names. You don't have to put your name on who these people are. I mean, if you want to, you can. And then we're going to basically take those same names and we're going to take them to our conference annual meeting, which is also at the end of next month. And our denominational leaders are going to say, we're going to pray for these people too. And so really that's just a starting place to say, you know, we need to just base everything that we do in just praying and see what God is going to do. It's not like we have to kind of go out of our way to say, you know, I'm going to like evangelize this person. This person needs to know the gospel. We just start by praying and say, where is God already at work? Because if we believe fundamentally that God is at work in the world, amen? I mean, God is at work in everybody's life and in all places. We just, our job is to pay attention to noticing where God is at work and saying, God, where are you already at work in people's lives? So that's the first letter, B. The second one, I want you to pull up the next one, is the letter L, which is stands for to listen with care. Now, so often, most people just don't have a place to really be listened to well. I mean, that's why, you know, people sometimes go to counselors, call hotlines. You know, they need to talk to somebody and just to share some aspect of their lives. And few people pay attention to people's really deep-seated dreams and pains. And imagine the kind of care that we could have by listening, by doing this, by listening with care to people. So the next step wouldn't be just telling them, you know, there's your story. Because sometimes we can kind of jump towards, well, I got to tell them what God has done in my life and stuff. I mean, that comes, but just listening to people. I mean, being a good listener. And if they know that you're a believer, they say, you know, thank you for sharing. I mean, I have that experience often where you just, you know, you talk to somebody, you just let them ramble about whatever it may be and stuff. You ask some questions, you say, you know, what's going on in your life? It doesn't necessarily even have to be a spiritual conversation, so to speak, as a starting place. It can be just any number of ways that you just listen to what is going on in their life. And then as a believer, you can say, what is that? What is God doing? You have kind of a unique lens by which you see what they share. And you say, you know, I know God is doing something in this. He may have you say something in response to that. But, you know, we just have to hold on to that conviction that God is always at work. And we just need to pay attention and notice those things. And so to bless others is to begin by listening rather than simply talking. Because this is the way of Jesus. You know, Jesus, when he interacted with people, you know, he was engaging people through questions, through loving them, through in conversation. And so when people are heard and when they are understood, they feel safe and they feel valued. And so get curious and ask good questions. Because, you know, I think we all can kind of shoot the breeze and kind of start with maybe something a little bit more informal. But it's less common to really have a substantive conversation that's really, you know, that gets into deeper issues and stuff. And so that, so even just if you look at the back of this, you know, there's some, just even some examples of spiritual conversation starters that are really just, I think, good questions that you can engage in asking people, you know, just to get them going in terms of sharing things in their life. The third one is E, the letter E, which somebody want to call that out? What is it to do? To eat. Eat together. That's probably my favorite one. Your favorite one? And just the blessing of just eating together. I mean, that's something that we like to do here afterwards. And, you know, we do kind of periodic potlucks and such. But sharing a meal together on a regular basis, one of the most sacred practices that we can engage in really as believers. You know, through the simple act of table fellowship, of eating together, of practicing hospitality, of building community and deepening relationships. And so to bless others, we can find creative ways to share a meal together. Whether it's just doing it in ways that we can practice hospitality, we can build community, we can deepen relationships over a meal. I mean, it's one of the things that's just a way that we engage others. You know, if you sit down for a meal and stuff, it's one of the ways that, you know, I can have the best conversation even with my wife. I say, you know, we go out on a date periodically or something, and I say, you know, that's one of the times where I can actually look face to face and have a conversation that just is sometimes harder in the midst of life, in the midst of family commitments and whatnot. And it was something that Jesus did often. You know, he called Matthew, you know, when he called Matthew to follow him, it involved a meal with him and lots of other tax collectors, for example. Or the story of Zacchaeus, that Jesus ate with him in the midst of his curiosity and interest in Jesus. We all have to eat, right? So why not grab some coffee, try a new restaurant with someone, support a local eatery? I mean, what would it look like to richly bless others through this missional hospitality in this way? Or even opening up your homes or taking them out or inviting someone in to feed them. There's no better way to build trust and to build credibility than through table fellowship. And then there's S, the first S, which says to serve with love. And so one of the most powerful ways to bless others is really by serving them. We talked earlier about just kind of this kind of false dichotomy between evangelism and social justice. And sometimes we can say, well, you know, I want to serve people. And some people are very inclined towards serving others in some tangible way. And Jesus' ministry was so characterized by service that he showed the full extent of his love to his disciples by serving them, by washing their feet. And you can't underestimate the profound impact that you can have when you serve someone in some tangible way. As you listen deeply, as you build community with others, you discover meaningful opportunities to serve them. And as we freely and joyfully serve others, they will begin to experience the love of Jesus in very tangible ways through our actions and through the things that we do for them. And if they know that you're a Christian or you're part of a church, the prospect of them receiving from you freely may be refreshing. Because sometimes people's perception of the church can be like, well, you just want something from me. You want me to go to your church. You want me to give to some cause or whatnot. But if you give freely to others, that might be something even in and of itself can be refreshing. So to give and to love and to serve others and just to see what God is going to do is another approach to this. And then the last one is also an S, which is to share your story. Rick Richardson says in his book, Reimagining Evangelism, Inviting Friends on a Spiritual Journey, he says this, when in your life was God most real to you? When has your encounter with Jesus been most influential? When have you most connected to the reality of the spiritual side of your life? I mean, that's crucial to your story to learn to share. Because God has done various things in our lives, and are we able to articulate, are we able to identify the things that God has done to us? Because that's the story that will be most relevant for you as you guide others in their spiritual journey. So in other words, as you start to build relationships and earn trust, to look for opportunities in which you can bless others by sharing your story. Now you may not necessarily start with that. I mean, sometimes we want to share our story, and that can be maybe appropriate, but I think sometimes that can be really at the point of having built some trust with them. I know kind of having one middle schooler and teenager in the house and stuff, I realized, you know, the degree to which, you know, we really need to earn the right to be heard, especially among young people. And I think that's true for my middle school daughter, Joella, and her friends. We took Sarah out on Friday for her birthday after youth group, and just listening, kind of driving a bunch of middle school kids in the car and just listening to their conversation and stuff. And I just realized, like, I can't just sort of insert myself. They're just, you know, chatting, and I was not even following their conversation. It was so interesting and a little bit obscure. But the point is that, you know, like, unless I have that relationship with them, you know, you can't just sort of insert yourself necessarily. And I think sometimes that can be true with others as well, that we need to just have earned that right to speak into people's lives. And so as we do some of these other things, as we pray for others, as we listen well with care, as we take somebody out for a meal and eat together, as we serve others, then we have that right to share our story with them. We all have a story. So sometimes we feel like, well, evangelism is preaching. I don't know how to preach. That's not something I know how to do. But it's just sharing your story is not preaching necessarily. It's just sharing what God has done in your life. Because when you set apart Christ in your heart, you become different. You experience grace. You know what it's like to be forgiven. And sometimes we take that for granted to realize, wow, God has done something in my life. And yet, to what degree do people know that? To what degree have other people experienced that? And we take for granted the fact that God has done something in our lives. And yet, we want the rest of the world to know what that's like to experience God's grace. And it's always going to happen differently how God is going to encounter other people. You can handle, you know, how you respond to God's grace is, you know what it's like to be forgiven. You know what it's like to have a life that has purpose. You handle relationships differently than before. You make financial decisions differently than before. Career priorities. Something should fundamentally be different in your life as a part of your story and what God has done for you. And so there may be specific stories that you could share. There may be specific miracles that God has done. I mean, I've heard many people's stories of just very specific encounters that God has done something miraculous in your life. And often it takes a little bit of time to look back and say, wow, God was at work in this part of my life. And that can be part of your story to share. So in our acronym, it's the final letter. It's that share your story. So again, we listen with care, but we earn the right to share our story. And sometimes, you know, people may be eager to listen. Once we've built that credibility, they might say, wow, that's interesting. But the opportunities will come. Trust me, the opportunities will come. And so to not be shy about it, to share your story, it's something that's valid and relevant to you. So to be free in sharing your story and allowing its telling to sink in what God even did in you in the first place. Sometimes by sharing our story, we realize, like even just articulating it to somebody else, we realize, wow, that's an amazing story that got what God did in my life. And we can be blessed by even just that process of sharing others. Because friends, at the end of the day, it comes down to appreciating the degree to which we truly have this treasure in earthen vessels, this treasure in jars of clay. Because in the midst of all the negative news that we see and read from our news feeds and you know, we must never forget the fact that we have the most amazing news in all of history, something that has eternal consequences. And so unless you really kind of say, wow, you know, I have something that's part of my life, something that I have some knowledge that we want the rest of the world to know. And unless we kind of are like, well, you know, well, they'll figure it out themselves. They'll learn it themselves. They have opportunity to do it themselves and stuff. We are really kind of neglecting that mandate that God has given to us to say, you know, it can be very simple of sharing your story. It can be something that doesn't need to be intimidating. So the question is, are you willing to bless others? Are you willing to allow God's blessing to come upon you as you take steps to bless others? So as we wrap up, let's remind ourselves of the promise that God made to us and through Abraham to be that blessing. And so what are those steps again? To begin with prayer, to listen with care, to eat together, to serve with love, and to share your story. And remember that we're simply called to plant the seeds and to water those seeds, because God's the one who's going to sow. God's the one who's going to reap the harvest. And as we step out and do this, the world is blessed through us. And as we step out, we are blessed. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I really want to just encourage us as a congregation this morning, Lord, just to maybe rethink and reconsider what it looks like, whether we have positive or negative views of that word evangelism. But we know that you have done a work in our lives, Lord, that we have a story to share, Lord. But even before we do that, Lord, there's so many other ways in which we can kind of make ourselves known to people in our lives, Lord, to those circles of influence of people that we have relationships with in different ways, Lord. And we want to start by just praying for those people, Lord. Even now as you're stirring in people's hearts, Lord, just to write a few names down, just to even just have that physical act of writing and saying, I'm going to pray for this person. I want my church to pray for this. I want my denomination to pray for these people. And just to believe even as a starting place that you are going to do a good work through prayer, Lord. And then as we step out to listen to people's lives and their stories and their dreams and their pains and the challenges that they face, Lord, that we can see that people will see us as trustworthy, as believers who are trustworthy and can maybe put aside any negative perceptions that they have of the church or believers or Christians or whatnot and just say, you've listened to me well. And as we do table fellowship and eat together and serve others and find those opportunities to share our story, Lord, that you might bless them and bless others, and ultimately bless us, Lord. So we just thank you for this word, Lord, and for just the promise that you made to Abraham from the very, very beginning to be a blessing to others, Lord. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.